time. How oftentimes do we have that mantle thrown on us and we say, hold on, God, not yet. Just give me some time. Let me wait. Let me get things in order. I don't know how many people I've talked to that say, Tony, I really do want to start coming to worship. I really do want to become a Christian at some point. Just not now. I need to get my life in order. And what they don't understand and what I beg and plead with them about is that you cannot get your life in order without God. He has to be the one to get your life in order. You can't do it without him. You can try all that you want. But outside of God, you're not going to be able to get your life together. Even if there's a sin that you're committing that you want to stop committing, even if you stop committing that sin, that sin is still attached to you because of all the times you've committed and it's not yet been washed away. You cannot do it without him. He needs to be there. He needs to be involved. He needs to be in the lead of your life. Just like Elijah is calling to Elisha, we need to understand that the Lord is calling us today. We are being called by God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verses 13 and 14, he says, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Much like we talked about yesterday, God doesn't call us or predestine us specifically. He doesn't say, I'm calling Tony, but I'm not calling somebody else. What he says is, here's the type of person that I'm going to call to me. Those who, through the gospel, have been called. We're going to be called by this. We're not going to get something coming from the sky or something in our head. We're going to be called by this. This is what's going to call us. That's not what I'm saying. That's what God's word says. He talks about God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in truth. A lot of people have faith in God. But not everybody has faith in God in truth, that's grounded, that's rooted in truth. There are many people that will tell you, I have faith in God. But a lot of those same people will say things like, well, I'm very spiritual, but I'm not religious. Or, I have a relationship with God, but I don't often worship, at a building somewhere. Can't have it both ways. God commands us to worship him. We cannot be spiritual outside of God's word. We can't say, well, I love Jesus, but I can't, it's Christians I can't stand. We can't say that. I would invite you to try to do that and love my dad to death. And I promise you, if you say, you know what, Scott, which is his name, you know what, Scott, I really like you, but I can't stand your son. See how far you get with my dad, right? That's with anybody's. You can say, Tony, I really don't like you, but I love your son, and I'm good with that. But if you say, Tony, I really like you, but I can't stand your son, we've got problems. We've got issues. We're going to have to work that out. And I'm okay with you saying, I love your son, but I don't like you all that much. I can handle that. But not the other way around. We can't tell God, I love Jesus, but I don't love your other children. We can't do that. It's not going to work. God is calling us much in the same way that he's calling Elisha. And just like Elisha, we need to fully commit to God. Here's what I missed. Look at verse 21 again. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 21. So he returned from following him and took the pair of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen and gave it to the people and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. Now, what it says in some versions is that Elijah burnt his plow. He boiled or he sacrificed the oxen, boiled them, their flesh, with the implements of the oxen. He took the yoke, right? All of the things that were tying the oxen together. the things that you know, would be the plow that he's using to plow the field. He cut all of those implements up, made himself a little altar there, and sacrificed the two oxen that he was using, the lead oxen that he was using. Do you think he has intentions on coming back? Do you think he says, you know what, I'm going to follow you for now, Elijah, but if this doesn't work out, I'm going to put this plow in the barn and I'm going to put these oxen in the barn. And so if this doesn't work out with you, these will still be there. That's not what he was doing. There was no going back because there were no oxen and there was nothing to drive them with, even if he still had the oxen, because he used all of those things to sacrifice and to boil these oxen so that the people could eat. And notice what it says about him. He took them, he sacrificed them, boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen, and gave it to the people to eat. Then he arose and followed Elijah. It doesn't even appear that he even stayed there to eat. He gave his family or whatever this food to eat, and it looks like he took off from there to follow Elijah. He was fully committed to what he was doing. In Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 46. It says, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts on them, I will show them who he is like. He's like man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when the flood rose and torrent burst against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built his house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against